All right. That brings us now to the most serious block of all.
He pointed in the direction of the big conference room.
Those emissaries.
Voraz looked very gloomy.
You are almost in the intergalactic banking business now, and will be if this resolution is signed. You had better understand that it is very tricky business handling such as those. As you noted,
he continued,
right now they have countries in riot. Their economies are in rags. But they are of such a nature that they will just sit there, square in the middle of their prejudices, cling to their most arrogant opinions, and ignore everything else. Right this minute, I have better reason than you to know they are absolutely counting on war to save their economies and their states. They think that war powers and war hysteria will distract the people and secure their own positions. It is their only formula. This bank lived in the shadow of the powerful, even if hated, cyclos. They are gone. You and even the Greedides are small planets. You have no great military force. To be blunt, those lords will not respect you. I read the ripples in the water with Lord Schleim. He supposed the bank was no longer the power it had been. He thought he could violate a conference. He failed. But that kind of thinking couldn't have existed a mere 13 months ago. Others among those haughty lords will get the same ideas sooner or later.
He pointed to the papers.
You have here more than 1,200,000 habitable useful worlds. It is very tasty bait for very big fish. Since these lords are bent on war to save their regimes, they will find a pretext not to respect the ownership of Intergalactic, Earth, or the bank. They will raid these planets. They will quarrel over them. They will throw good sense and order to the winds and waves. The harder they are driven at home by economic chaos, the more they will seek a pretext to take outlaw actions.
Johnny was listening to him. He had wondered for some time now when they would get around to this point. It was the key problem. And if it were left unhandled, all the doors they were trying to open would jam shut in their faces.
Since I have been here, not one of those elegant aristocrats has failed to draw me aside and try to discuss his nation's chances for a war loan. Of course, we seldom make war loans. All we do is issue the bonds for them and let them sell them to each other. There's no real money in war loans. With economics this shaky, the chances of their being paid back are poor. Wars are not as popular with the people who fight them as with the lords who run them and profit by them. Revolutions could occur, and revolutionaries are notorious as bad risks. So before you commit yourselves to these risks, you should understand them.
Johnny stood up. These small gray men had not signed anything yet. He had been afraid there would be a quibble. He picked up his helmet and silver wand.
Sir Robert and I discussed this. We rehearsed it. It is risky, but I believe we have no choice. Do I have the temporary right, granted by all of you, to set bank policy for the next couple of hours? If it is successful, you will not be the losers. If I am not successful, you won't have lost anything.
You set bank policy?
Gaped Lord Voraz.
Let him do it,
said the Baron.
But he might commit us to some course of...
You just better say yes, Lord Voraz,
MacAdam said.
That's Johnny Tyler there who's talking.
Lord Voraz looked numbly from MacAdam to the Baron.
I've not yet signed.
Nor have I,
said Drees. The Baron reached over and made Voraz's head bob.
He said, yes, Johnny, go ahead.
But he might do something dangerous.
Lord Voraz was trying to sputter.
He is a very peculiar young man.
Johnny had already left with Sir Robert. A Sir Robert with a grim expression on his face.